question was asked if an individual were to say, I go in line with this opinion among Rishonim, would he also be right to say that the rabbis who don't go with that opinion, they're all wrong? Why don't we begin with a different question? What right do we have to decide that a certain Rishon is right? And let's go a little bit stronger than that. Wouldn't it be very haughty of us and bordering heretical, or at least very, very foolish of us, to think that we are big enough to decide in a question that such giants argued upon? I would think that any person who begins the sentence and says, if I believe that Risho number one is correct, is beginning in error. Meaning to say such a sentence is already, let's use kind words and say foolish. There are stronger words that I would use, but let's give people the benefit of the doubt. A person who thinks that he can enter a halachic question where such giants had a disagreement and venture a halachic opinion simply has no understanding in halacha. So that's number one. Now, in halacha, though, there does exist a concept that a person can say kaimali. Now, kaimali sounds like what you said. Kaimali means a person can say, I'm going with this opinion in halacha. It's a little bit complex defining where a person can say that, but let's just say, do you really think that a person would have a right to say that the other opinions are wrong? I mean, we just spent the night discussing that each one has valid is a valid opinion, and the halacha really demands of each rabbi to analyze the halacha and come to a conclusion the way the Rambam, Ramban, and others did. So if they did what they were supposed to do and came to that conclusion, by what right can I say they were wrong? They were right. The fact that in this world we have to come to a conclusion with one opinion or the other does not mean that the other opinion is wrong. In halacha we say, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. This opinion is the word of God, and this opinion is the word of God. And going with our introductions earlier tonight, that's very understandable because God gave both the potential to be halacha. Now you're raising an issue where we don't have a clear halachic definition. Halacha hasn't come out and said, this is the halacha, let's say. I mean, we could argue that the halacha has taken a stance on that issue. But let's say, the way you presented the question certainly indicates that you don't know of a source where the halacha gives us a bottom line between the two. So little old me is going to come and say, I know what's right. I don't know, it sounds pretty ostentatious to me. You want to say, I'm going to behave in accordance with opinion X. Okay, maybe you're right, maybe you are wrong. Because who gives us a right to decide which opinion to go with? But let's say, you say, this is the opinion, I'll go with it. Let's say. But to take the next step and say, this opinion is right, that's wrong. I have no right to say one opinion is right because, firstly, both opinions are right. One of them might be the correct opinion to follow la halacha. That doesn't mean the other opinion is wrong. Now, this isn't just a thought of mine. This is a Mishnah in Eduyos. This is a Mishnah, not a Gemara. The Mishnah says, why do we record the opinion of the individual opinion when the Rabbim disagree? When you have a machlokis in the Mishnah, you have a situation where Rebbe set it up that the halacha is going to be with Chachamim. And we're not going to go like the minority opinion of Rabbi Akiva, let's say. So why did the Mishnayos bother giving us the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? Now going with your line of reasoning, Rabbi should have answered the question and said, well, the minority opinion is wrong. Don't do that. He didn't say that. So learn the Mishnah in Eduyos. It's the first perek. Not exactly. Learn the Mishnah, and then we could discuss it. Because there are really two Mishnayot there, three Mishnayot there, and it deserves its own class. But one thing we have to know, when we read two opinions, even if our custom is, and even if our rabbi holds with one opinion, God forbid we should look at the other opinion in Mishnah or Gemara or Rishonim and say they're wrong. Who am I to say they're wrong? All I can say is my custom in halacha is such and such. And even in common day questions where people will ask me, is this mutter or is this asr? So I don't know if you noticed, but even if I have a tradition, what I will usually answer is, my tradition is that we have to do so and so. There might be other traditions which are just as valid. That's the way halacha works. Halacha is not about saying this is wrong. I'll tell you when we say this is wrong. When we have a fool that walks into here, and I'm not talking about you, but when we have a fool that walks into here and brings his own interpretations of Rishonim and his own interpretations of how halacha should work, and we look at him and we say, what are you talking about? You have nothing to stand on. You've invented halacha. You've decided what halacha should be. Then we say he's wrong. When a person works within the framework of halacha, and he's a valid person, and he's learned halacha, and he has a tradition, and he expresses an opinion, we respect that opinion. It's when a person has no tradition. So when a person comes in and just shoots off and says, this is what it says here, and this is what it says here, and this is the halacha, and he doesn't know what he's talking about, then we say he's wrong. But when you're dealing with people like Rambam, Ramban, and other Rishonim, to say that one is right and one is wrong, sorry, we don't do that. So I don't know if there's room for the next part of the question. Right?
It's on the opposite that people that I meet, they go according to their Rav, and the Rav says this, and everyone who is not in the same derech is wrong. It's from that people act outside of them.
But that's wrong. Then they don't know what they're doing.
If you really believe in your shefa or the halakha or your derech, your way is the right way, and you know, more perfected, and the other ways are, you know, I think it's a slower route to Lama Bas.
What can I tell you?
Maybe.
You want sources that say it this way?
No, I understand. This is what I see.
I don't know who you're looking at. I can tell you that where I was brought up, and I can tell you, let's take the example that we discussed in our cooking, in our class on Shabbat, that when the students learned by Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he prohibited them recovering a pot where you had chicken bones that weren't fully cooked, and they sent the shaila to Moshe Feinstein in the United States. So he read it and he sent back a letter and he said, why are you asking me? You have Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who's your Rebbe in Israel. Why are you asking me? So they said, yes, but we asked his permission to ask you. We want to know your opinion. And he gave us permission to ask you. So what's your opinion? So he wrote back. He said, given that he's given me permission to respond, I happen to respectfully disagree. I hold that it would be permitted to recover the pot. And we discussed the basis for the halacha in our halacha class. When Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wanted to write a tshuva about a portion which had a point which it disagreed with Rav Moshe Feinstein, he wrote up the whole tshuva and he sent it to Rav Moshe Feinstein before he published it. And he said, this is what I think. Do you give me permission to publish it? And Rav Moshe Feinstein read the tshuva and said, even though I still disagree with you, but of course it's a valid tshuva, go publish what you think. And when Rav Moshe Feinstein handed his yeshiva a student named Rav Avram Pesen Zatzal, and that student was asked to write in the Yeshiva Journal an article about whether it is permitted to take a piece of parchment of a Sefer Torah that was recovered from the Nazis or from some place where the rest of the Torah was burnt and place it in an encasement in a shul so that everyone can see it, put it on display, whether that's a desecration of the Torah or not. And he wrote a whole long tshuva writing why it is prohibited. And then when they came to publish the publication, the rabbi who had asked Rabbi Feinstein the question saw Rav Pesen's response and went to the publishers and said, don't publish what Rav Pesen said. So the publisher said, let me ask Rabbi Feinstein. So the rabbi said, I asked Rabbi Feinstein and he gave me a long response and explained to me why it's permitted. So the publisher said, well, let's take it to Rabbi Feinstein. They went to Rabbi Feinstein. Maybe the rabbi himself took it to Rabbi Feinstein. Maybe it wasn't the publisher. I don't remember the details. And he asked him, how could we publish this? You wrote me a whole long answer explaining to me why it's permitted. Rabbi Feinstein sat down and read through Rav Pesen's responsa and said, I hold it's permitted. But he wrote a very good reason why it's prohibited. I don't agree with him, but his opinion is valid. I still maintain by mine, but he's legitimate in having his. Publish his. So the rabbi said, but it's the yeshiva journal. You're the Rosh Yeshiva. He said, right, and that's a valid opinion. Publish it. Right? How do you do that? Because we respect one another. We don't look at an opinion that differs from us and say he's off the wall, unless he's really off the wall. I disagree with you doesn't mean I have to insist you're wrong. I can respect you and say, I feel the halacha is this way, and I respect the opinion that disagrees. I don't have to feel like you're wrong just because I'm right. Think about it. That's one of the rules we said in Machloksin. Not every opinion precludes the other opinion. Sometimes I can say, you know, there's room to learn this way, there's room to learn that way. My tradition, my understanding is this way. I respect your tradition. Look, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach had a certain shiloh where he was, I guess you could call it stringent. And when certain medical questions came to him and they had to take the more lenient opinion, he'd send to the rabbi who ruled with the more lenient opinion. Now, why would he do that if he disagreed? Because when we disagree, it's not that we're saying the other side is a liar. It's not that we're saying they're wrong. That's what we began class with. The halacha gives validity to multiple understandings. And you don't have to say that one is right and one is wrong. You might have to give halachic ruling a certain way, but that doesn't mean the other side is wrong. You with me, David?
Yeah.
On this point?
Separate.
Okay.